It's great to be with you. And if you could turn, please, to Ruth chapter 4. It's the last in our short series on Ruth. It's page 269 in the church Bibles, but the word should come up on the screen. Just while you're turning there, just to add one thing to the notices, should have mentioned that we've got a church members meeting a week on Tuesday when we'll be voting on the proposal that the church should partner with the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. So just to flag that up, that's 7:30 a week on Tuesday. If you're unable to be there because of work commitments, because of unavoidable childcare commitments, or because of ill health, then please see Jenny, who has got voting slips to do with that. Ruth chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the follower of Salmon, Salmon the follower of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. Oh, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. It's a wonderful thing, an exciting thing to have the word of the living God open before us, to hear what you, our Creator, our Redeemer, has to say to us. And Father, we pray now for your Holy Spirit's help. Lord, for me as preacher, but Lord, for each one of us. Father, we want to hear you speaking to us. We want you to open up your word to us. And Lord, we want you to, by your Spirit, to take and apply that word to our hearts, that we are transformed by it, that we go on our way rejoicing at your wonderful redemption. We ask this in our Saviour's name and for your glory, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Ruth 4, and I've given it the title, An Amazing Redemption. Christmas is looming on the horizon. Just driving here, went past Charlie's and they got the Christmas lights on. And soon we will have to break open our piggy banks and work out what we can afford to spend on Christmas presents. More than that, we'll have to reflect on just how much we want to spend on Christmas presents for the various people in our lives. As a kid, I can remember having a vague sense that something like a pair of socks from a distant relative somehow meant that they felt they ought to give me something, but they really didn't think that I was worth spending that much on. I was obviously a very ungrateful child. I clearly didn't appreciate that maybe they hadn't got much money and maybe they got loads of distant relatives, and that pair of socks was a significant expenditure for them. And actually, come to think of it, I spent very little on any presents when I was a child. And I really did love my parents, honest. I just hadn't got much money. But having said all that, there is a link, isn't there, between what we are prepared to do for people and how much we love them. There is a connection. And so as we come to Ruth chapter 4, what is Boaz prepared to do for Ruth and Naomi? I've got just two points this evening, just two headings. And the first one is a costly redemption, verses 1 to 11, a costly redemption. The chapter we're looking at starts, at least in this translation, with the word meanwhile, which tells us that we're sort of coming into part of the way through a story. So we need a very brief catch-up. It's great to see you all here tonight, but I'm sure you weren't all here for all the three previous sermons. So here goes, brief catch-up. Naomi left Israel and went to Moab with her husband and sons in search of food. Husband Elimelech dies. Sons Mahlon and Chilion marry Moabites, Ruth and Orpah. The sons both die, leaving one elderly widow, Naomi, and two young widows, Orpah and Ruth, and no children. Naomi returns to Israel. Ruth insists on returning with her to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem. Ruth goes gleaning, collecting the leftovers from the harvest, in the field of Boaz, who is a relative of Naomi's late husband. Boaz is amazingly kind to Ruth. The law of Israel said that a close relative had the responsibility to marry a childless widow, and the first child that they had would carry on, or the first son they had would carry on the dead first husband's name, and inherit his property. That relative should act as what was called a guardian redeemer. So at Naomi's instigation, Ruth asks Boaz, please marry me. He explains to her that actually there's a closer relative who has first responsibility, first call on whether he wants to marry her to be a guardian redeemer. But Boaz says, if he doesn't, I will marry you if that man is unwilling. Okay, so you're totally up to speed now. So let's pick up the story. Verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. The town gate was, and these places have been excavated, was a sort of public sort of space where legal and business transactions took place. And so Boaz meets the man there. Verse 2. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit there." And they did so. In their society, the elders of the town, the senior men, acted as witnesses, acted as legal experts as well, if that was called on. The book of Judges refers to one town having 77 elders. So Bethlehem probably has more than 10, and 10 is simply the required number to witness a transaction. Boaz starts by talking about land, verses 3 and 4. He said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those seated here and in the presence of the elders of my town. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am the next in line." "I'll redeem it," he said. You see, every family had land as an inheritance, a stake in the promised land. And the whole system was geared around the land staying in the family, so that the family kept its stake there in the promised land, that they had a part of God's inheritance. And in a dire necessity, they could sell the land, but if possible, it would have to be sold to a near relative to keep it in the wider family. And in the year of Jubilee, which came about every 50 years, land that had been sold in that way would revert back to the original family if anyone was still living. If you want to check all that out, you can read about it in Leviticus 25. So Naomi and Ruth are presumably in great need and are unable to farm the land for themselves, so they are selling the land to raise funds. And who in the family, the wider family, can buy it from them? And the first responsibility to buy it falls on this guardian redeemer, this unnamed man. And as we saw, he jumps at it. "I'll buy it. I will redeem it," he says. You know, after all, and you can watch him doing the sums, and I guess it went something like this. "I'm going to have to pay a bit out to gain the land, but against that, I'll have many years' harvest from it. Okay, I've probably got to maintain Naomi, the widow with the land, but come on, she's an old woman. She probably hasn't got a very big appetite, so it's not going to cost us much. And what is more, she has no sons, obviously, or they'd be having the land themselves. And because she's old, she's very, very unlikely to have any more sons. And so in time when she dies, the land will become permanently part of my estate. And I can pass it on to my children. I mean, there's very, very little danger, if any, that will have to be given back to Naomi's descendants. Sounds like a wise deal. Yeah, I'll redeem it." But then Boaz introduces another factor into the equation. Verse 5. "Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property.'" By the way, just as an aside, talking about acquiring doesn't mean he's buying a wife. It, given the legal setting, it's probably legal language for something like, "You, I will marry her as part of the legally valid transaction." It probably means something like that. But here we are in the sandals, so to speak, of this unnamed redeemer, kinsman, guardian redeemer. Now, the introduction of Ruth into the scenario changes everything. Now the sums are different. Verse 6, "This, the guardian redeemer said, 'Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I can't do it.'" Now, we don't know for certain, but it probably goes something like this. It's not just one mouth I'm going to have to feed if I buy this land, it's two. And it's not an elderly widow, but I'm getting a young widow. And I've got to marry her, and that may well mean children. Goodness knows how many more mouths to feed. And if she has a son, then the property will revert ultimately to his ownership. and be owned in the name of Marlon, the first husband, to maintain his name with the property. So I will have ended up spending loads of money buying the field, buying the land, lots more money feeding an expanding family, and we'll have nothing to show for it. In fact, if she has more than one son, then the additional sons will want part of my original estate, because they'll be counted as my children, alongside any sons I've already got. So hold on a minute, this doesn't add up now. The whole thing suddenly looks very, very unattractive. You see, this whole redemption business is very, very costly. It wasn't just, you know, can you help someone a bit? It was potentially a very costly thing to do. Verse 8, so the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. And at this point, the question implicitly is, will Boaz be willing to bear the cost of the redemption? You see, we must assume that Boaz is in the same situation as the other guardian redeemer. Now, there's a great temptation to read the story through 21st century Western eyes, as though it was a sort of script for a Hollywood film, and to assume that, yeah, okay, we know Boaz is an older man, but surely not too much older than Ruth, and he must be a bachelor, and this is all terribly romantic. But given marriage practices in ancient Israel, that is highly unlikely. Any Jewish reader of Ruth would assume that as an older man of standing, Boaz was already married or widowed, and that he already had sons to inherit his estate. Because after all, as this chapter tells us, there was a great emphasis in the Old Testament on a man marrying to have sons to maintain the family name with the property. I mean, look at the end of verse 10. In order to maintain the name of the dead with his property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Boaz, the norm would have been as an upright Jewish man, I've got to marry to have sons to carry on the property name, the name of the property. I think the writer takes it as read that the reader will assume that Boaz has married previously. So redeeming Elimelech's land, marrying Ruth, seeking to have children through her so that the family line of Elimelech through his son Marlon would be maintained with the property, was a costly action for Boaz. As the other guardian redeemer has made very clear by his unwillingness to act. So Boaz is showing great kindness to Naomi and to Ruth in this very, very costly act of redemption. And his kindness is the kindness of the Lord through this man of God. As Boaz himself says in chapter 2, verse 12, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And God fulfills what Boaz prays for through Boaz. And yet Boaz's action is just a small picture of the way God has provided a very costly redemption for us through the action of a flesh and blood man. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. To redeem us, the Son of God took on flesh and blood. He became one of us. We needed redeeming from our sins, buying back from the slavery to sin. And that could only be done by the costliest act of redemption ever. The Lord Jesus Christ, God become man, redeemed us, as Peter puts it, with his own precious blood. He died in the place of his people. He bore the wrath of God against them. The punishment you and I deserved fell on him. What an amazing price God was prepared to pay for our redemption. how costly it was to him. The Son of God, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He suffered and died. He was cut off from his own Father because he was bearing our sin. Like Ruth, we should marvel, as she said to Boaz, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes? Why were you prepared to pay such a costly redemption to buy us back? Why would you do such a thing for me?" And the only answer is because he loved us. Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 20, that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And in a parallel with the action of Boaz, the love of Jesus extended to marrying his people when they were in great need. The church is described in various places in the New Testament as the bride of Christ, just as people of Israel were described as God's bride in the Old Testament. And Ephesians 5 describes the cost that Jesus was prepared to pay to redeem his bride. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And that was, gave himself up over to death for her. We should be amazed at the incredible cost of our redemption and overawed, overwhelmed that God was prepared to pay such a cost. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. And it's amazing not just the cost paid, but also the extent of the redemption. So our second point is a present and future redemption, verses 11 to 22. If you look at verses 11 to 22, and in the NIV, the way they've chosen to break it up, the headings they've given, underlines this. There are two themes running through the last section of the book. The first is of the blessings that Naomi now enjoys, and that is the focus in verses 13 to 17, the middle son headed in our translation, Naomi gains a son. So that's in the middle, the blessings now. And the second theme in this last section is of the future blessings that will come through Ruth's offspring. And the focus on those is at the beginning, verses 11 and 12, and the end, the bit headed, the genealogy of David, well, really verses 18 to 22. So we've got present blessings, we've got future blessings. So we're going to start with the middle section, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. You know, after all the detail earlier in the story, about taking sandals off and so on, this is a very concise summary. There are literally five very simple statements. Boaz took Ruth, firstly. Secondly, she became his wife. Thirdly, our translation puts it, when he made love to her, well, literally, he went into her, which was a common euphemism for sex in the Old Testament. So our translation has replaced a Hebrew figure of speech with an English figure of speech. But actually, in the Hebrew, the word love isn't mentioned. It's he went into her. Fourthly, the Lord enabled her to conceive. And that's significant, because remember, her marriage to Mahlon had been childless. And fifthly, she gave birth to a son. Now, the fact that these momentous events are stated so starkly tells us that this information had to be given, but the focus isn't here. So where is the focus in this section? Well, verse 14, the women said to Naomi. The women of the town have spoken to Naomi once before, back in chapter 1. When she told them, stop calling me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Because she had gone away full, but the Lord had brought her back empty. But now there has been a wonderful transformation in Naomi's life. She was, in her estimation, empty, but now she is full. Verse 14, the women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer." Or verse 16, then Naomi took the child in her arms are now full, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." One relative had refused to become a guardian redeemer. Boaz had willingly embraced the cost and has become one. And now this baby son born to Ruth has become Naomi's guardian redeemer. Verse 15, he will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. He has provided a new life for Naomi, will provide for her in her old age. And so Naomi takes the child in her arms. It's not the only time in the Bible we read of someone taking a guardian, redeemer, a saviour into their arms. Appropriately, coming up to Christmas, the other time we read of that is Simeon. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 27 following. Moved by the Spirit, he, Simeon, went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." That guardian redeemer, that saviour that old Simeon took in his arms was our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as with Naomi, he renews our life. He gives us new birth. He purchases forgiveness of sins for us. And all these are blessings that every Christian already has. If you're a Christian, you've got that already. You've got, your life has been renewed, your sins have been forgiven. You've had new birth. Even now, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings us a wonderful redemption here and now. And there's more here and now. More than just new life and forgiveness of sins to enjoy. Because the women of Bethlehem have got one more thing to say, which is utterly amazing. End of verse 15. "For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." That is the one use of the word love in the book of Ruth. Ruth's amazing love for Naomi. If you want to call the book of Ruth a love story, you're right. But above all else, it's a love story of Ruth's love for Naomi. As she lived by faith, not by sight, and turned her back on the obvious things that she would gain by going back to Moab and insisted on clinging to Naomi, she showed love. As she, at Naomi's instigation, sought marriage with Boaz, an older man but a guardian redeemer, rather than marrying for passion or for greed, she showed love. And the women of Bethlehem rightly recognized this as quite extraordinary love. And in the context of the book, it's a picture of the loving kindness that Christians are to show to each other. Jesus said, some of the best known verses, I guess, John 13, 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In the Old Testament, if he was trying to think of the best love, he could have said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as Ruth loved Naomi." Now that's the nearest equivalent in the Old Testament. You know, we may, like Naomi, and looking around, I guess some of you have, experienced tragic loss in your lives, in our lives. Those whose love mattered to us so much may be tragically taken from us, as Naomi lost her husband and her two sons in quick succession. but in the church we should find Christian brothers and sisters who show an extraordinary love and kindness to us, who show God's love to us, who love us as Christ loves us. And Ruth shows us that by the grace of God that can be done. Now that's a huge challenge to us as a church. I believe that in God's goodness we have a reputation of being a loving, caring church. We must pray for God's help, that that is always a reality, not just a reputation. John, in his first letter, simply says, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. That's he's God. And one of the major present blessings of redemption that we enjoy is God's loving kindness to us through Christian brothers and sisters. That is such a blessing. But the passage also, as we draw to a close, speaks of future blessings. Just so going back to the sort of the brackets, the verses before and after that section. Verse 11, may the Lord, halfway through the verse, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Now the townspeople at the gate pray for astonishing blessings on the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. You know, may your marriage be as fruitful as Jacob's marriage to Rachel and Leah. Well, they were the famous ancestors of 8 of the 12 tribes, or all 12 if you count the children through their maidservants. May your family be famous in the town. See that blue plaque over there? That's where Boaz and Ruth used to live. They're the ones who had all that. Yeah. May your offspring be as strong as the descendants of Perez. This all happens in the tribe of Judah. Judah was the strongest tribe in Israel, and for some reason the clan of Perez, one of Judah's sons, was the preeminent one in Judah. So the elders and the rest of the people are praying for extraordinary blessings on Boaz and Ruth's marriage. Now, is this just a sort of pious way of saying, we wish you well? You know, you go over the top a bit because it's a marriage. Well, how did things turn out? End of verse 17, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Ruth and Boaz's first son was the grandfather of King David, the greatest king of Israel. Things turned out every bit as spectacularly as the women had prayed. And verses 18 to 22 place Boaz and Obed into the family line from Perez to David. And it's a family line that is repeated precisely in Matthew chapter 1. As part of the family line going back further to Abraham, going down further to the Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord Jesus Christ was also descended from Ruth and Boaz. And God will bring a still more wonderful redemption to all who, like Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, put their trust in God's promises. He will bring an even more wonderful redemption to all who trust in Jesus. We've thought of some of the present blessings he brings, forgiveness, new life, a wonderful new family in the church. But there is still future redemption to come through him. Romans 8, 22 and 23 puts it like this. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Redemption of our bodies. I, just speaking to the younger people in the congregation, if sometimes you'll overhear the older people in the congregation talking to each other about how they are, and it tends to turn into something of an organ recital. My leg's bad, or my stomach's bad, or my shoulder's bad, or my knee's bad. I'm afraid you'll be there one day if the Lord spares you. We all start to wear out. But praise God, we're going to have a new body in glory. We've got an even better redemption to look forward to. So praise God that we have a present wonderful redemption and a future wonderful redemption. Come back to where we started. I don't know what Christmas gifts you and I will decide we can afford, or who will decide we want to give them to. But God's Christmas gift is for all who will believe in the Saviour he has sent, and is something that cost him the most costly possible thing. It cost him being separated from his Son as he bore our sins on the cross. It cost him the death of his only Son on the cross. And through that incredibly costly gift, he gives us so much now, and he gives us even more into eternity. So I urge you to marvel at it, to praise him for that, this wonderful redemption, this amazing redemption, and above all, accept it. Put your faith in the Saviour. Learn from Ruth and Naomi, who put such faith in their guardian redeemer, and it won't be misplaced. He will redeem you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for our wonderful Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we just praise you that you were prepared to pay the cost of sending him, that he was prepared to pay the cost of going all the way to Calvary. And Father, we thank you that through his costly redemption, we have received such wonderful gifts here and now, and we've got even more to look forward to in glory. And Father, I pray for each one of us who already know you, who can already say, Jesus is my Redeemer, that you'd cause us to marvel in this, to rejoice in this, to praise you for it. But for any who are with us this evening who don't know that, oh Father, I pray that you would open their eyes to show them their need of a Redeemer, open their eyes to show them your provision in Christ, and give them grace as you so abundantly gave it to Ruth, to trust in the Redeemer you provided, and to find that yes, he was true to his word, Lord, as you will be true to your word. Father, I pray that even today they'd be rejoicing in heaven over sinners who repent. We ask this in Jesus' name, and for your glory. Amen. Amen.